The evolution continues. CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Vibe Collective CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Jams. Joining me in studio,
Mane, Kemba.
Yes.
Oh, what's good? It's Luan.
Yes. And in the back, she's actually renting at the door, is Mally, aka Docu Vixen. We're the Vibe Collective. We're heard every Saturday from 3 to 5. From 3 to 4, we normally have roundtable talks. We talk about important issues like social justice, decolonization, oppression, anti-oppression,
environmental racism, environmental justice.
And I feel like for Adrian, I need to say celebrity pop culture. I feel like he'd appreciate it.
Representing for Adrian Worrell, shout out to him. And that's how we do. Also, shout out to Kaya, who just rolled in. She is an extended member of the collective, also known as my daughter.
That's cute.
Yeah. So, and then from 4 to 5, the DJs bring you music to move you, which we will be doing later on in the show. But first, we must welcome very long-awaited guests have arrived.
We're in the building, you know.
Yes. Finally. It's like we need red carpet fanfare, big love and shout-outs to you both. We've got Jay and Braxton from Lost Lyrics.
Yes, repping Lost Lyrics. Bomb.
And on the phone, we also have Butterfly.
On the phone, for real?
Yes.
Hey!
B-Fly, what up?
Hold on, girl. How you doing?
Hi, Butterfly.
Yeah. So we've been wanting to speak to y'all for time now. And we're really happy to have you guys here on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's dope.
So, for anybody out there who doesn't know about Lost Lyrics, why don't you let the listeners know who Lost Lyrics are, what we are.
Yeah. We're a mobile learning space. So you look like Lost Lyrics is, we bridge the gap between streets and classroom knowledge. I mean, you're in the classroom, you don't hear about like homosexuality and all these things that we don't talk about in classrooms. We talk about on the street. So Lost Lyrics is that place for youth, you know, in high school, coming out of high school, going into high school, just understanding how to talk about these things, having the language to discuss them, and also using art as the basis and the medium. And founded in Malvern and Jane and Finch, two communities who are looked at, minority communities, they're struggling and not doing so well. We use the students in these communities are actually trying to talk about their communities and everything else that goes on in them using art as a medium. So like there's breaking, every element of hip hop you think of, breaking, DJing, graffiti, rapping, MCing, it's all, we all use that just to express and discuss these things.
That's a lot. I mean, it's I know that you guys have put out a couple of albums, you do a live report card. And for every time I've ever seen Lost Lyrics, I'm just like, it's such a moving experience.
It's a family, like everyone's together.
And you definitely get that vibe.
Oh, yeah.
You definitely get that vibe. So the last live report card was just 2 weeks ago at Lula Lounge.
It was dope.
It was the best show. It was sell off, just so you guys know. If you didn't come, you so missed great. The best show of your life.
Turned up, y'all. Yeah.
It was live.
Yeah. So for people who don't know what the live report card is, maybe Butterfly, can you share what it is?
Sure, but Braxton's really throwing it down.
Oh, okay.
It's my
sorry.
Turn to talk on the spot. All right, the live report card is basically, it's a play on the report card. So it's like, if we're bridging the classroom knowledge and street knowledge, you know, you have to grade us. But we're not looking for A's and B's and C's, you know what I mean? We're looking for, like, feedback and comments on what we do throughout the year. So we put on a show. We have theater, music, everything we do over that year, whether it's our artwork, we display it and showcase it. And the audience can give feedback on a fill-out sheet or whatever. It's just how it's alive. It's the live report card. It's what we did all year in front of your face, and it's our creations.
Yeah, it's definitely a culmination of all the programming that has been implemented in the artistic development program. And Las Lyrics is like, I mean, we're mobile. We're all over the place. We're rhizomatic. We grow. But I think one thing that's really dope about it is how it's based in, it's youth-led and youth-oriented, youth-governed in that respect. And that the communities that we're in, they decide the kinds of work that we're going to be doing. So when we're developing and building new contracts, they get to tell us what they would like. So, you know, when we get into the AD programming, for example, you know, we have a dotmocracy system. So the youth get to decide what they want to learn. And then we pull our resources. So if they want to learn dance and three of them want to learn dance, then they learn dance. Mm. We brought in someone from Ballet Creole to teach them how to dance.
Awesome.
Because they wanted to learn like Afro-Caribbean folk. We have people who want to do visual arts, photography. We have it. Studio time. We got Rich Kid and Obi representing, and they
help
them.
Shout out to Obi and Rich Kid right now.
That's what's up.
Big shout out.
You know, and they go to work in the studio, and I think that is in essence sort of the prequel to the live report card, is that kind of work. So what you're seeing is the result of months and months and months of dedication, not just from the staff but from the youth. I mean, they put in that work. So the live report card is just an opportunity to be like, hey, community, thank you for giving us so much. We'd like to give a little bit back to you.
For sure. But as a mom, I think my experience with, in particular, the live report card is an artistic conversation with my son and his family, or they're also my family, but, you know, his peers. So it's an artistic conversation as well, like to hear, you know, what are the things they're facing? How are they artistically approaching these issues? And how to use art through social justice, or just social justice through the arts. So I think it's always been, of course, entertaining and hype and, you know, crazy energy. But it's also very humbling to hear their stories as well.
So maybe let's dial it back a little bit. I'm interested, Braxton, in how you got involved with Las Lyrics and your journey, because you're an OG now, no?
Yeah. When I started Las Lyrics, OG, yeah. OG, just see what an OG is. An OG is an original griot, an original storyteller. He's one of the older folks in Las Lyrics, not necessarily because we're just age, we're just also like experience and maturity. When I joined Las Lyrics, I was, I think, like just starting grade 9. So, like, you know, that's when, like, stuff gets real. At that age in your life, and as a young male growing up in Malvern, my mom moved out of the community, so just on the outskirts of Malvern, but always going to school in Malvern, right across from the mall. I mean, I seen a lot of stuff, and like just kind of didn't know how to handle it, and like channel energies in certain directions, and didn't know what to do with the energy. And then I walked into a village cipher, and like I was dragged in by a community worker, like, get in here right now, you gotta go see this stuff. I was like, all right, great. They had food though, so I was all right. And we were eating and stuff, and I just had to join. Like, I had a love for writing. I didn't know how to write, didn't know what to write about, but I loved writing. I hate reading, but I love to write. So I feel like I could write what I want to read. I can write what I want to say. And like Amanda and Natasha, I remember Kim, actually, I talked to Kim Crosby. She gave me that, like, she's like, just start writing, just start doing it. And I joined, and I think from that day forward, I had that stepping stone to always be ahead of the game in the world, like wherever I was going. Like, Las Lyrics has given me that knowledge, like that insight, you know, that seed that I can plant wherever I go. So it's been great, and that's how I got involved, just almost being forced, but just having that just feeling the energy that I need to be around me for it. And as I grew up, and now I'm 18, I look 4 years back, like, man, I don't know if I would have been here right now if it wasn't for Las Lyrics, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
So you mentioned Amanda and Natasha. Can someone just talk about, like, the humble beginnings of Las Lyrics? Because, I mean, you all are, like, talking about how big it is now, and it is big, but it was, like, it was work,
yo,
you know?
When they started, man, like, in Hilliard and trying to get the kids to listen to them and stuff, like, Amanda and Natasha were really angry at the school system. They're like, yo, this is screwed up, and, like, how are we letting our kids go through this and whatnot? And, like, they wanted something that they never had to give to us. Right. And it was out of love for the communities that they grew up in, and just like seeing that, you know, people of color aren't given these chances, you know what I mean? Like, we're overlooked and whatnot. And I feel like they wanted to do so much, and they were humble about it. They went about it, and I think they actually admit to us at Life Brookhart, they've grown and matured and come a long way with Lost Lyrics and with how to handle and how to give time to the students they're working with, and they're also their peers, their coworkers, which is really big as two directors to actually say that out loud on the mic to an audience. And I mean, they had to grow up and learn a lot, which is big, and that helped me grow, because to watch people who are teaching you grow means that I'm not just a student, they're not just a teacher, they're a student as well, and I'm a teacher.
Right.
So we're all continually in this cycle of learning and growing, which is big, and I appreciate that so much. It was humble.
Yeah. Just so people know, Amanda Pearson and Tasha Daniel.
And also a lot of people are probably at Secrets of a Black Boy right now.
Yes.
I know Amanda is on there. So
she's
is Rich
right
Kid.
Now.
Yep. And there's another showing tonight at 8 p.m. They were Darren Anthony and Samson Brown were on the show last week talking about Secrets of a Black Boy.
Everyone
and
check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody needs to check that out. I want to ask you, Braxton, you mentioned that some of the conversations and the dialogue that you're having, it's stuff that is happening on the streets, but not necessarily in the classroom, but is a very important part of education. You mentioned homophobia. Can you talk a little bit more about some of that stuff and how that's impacted you as a youth coming up in the...
It's really big, because it's not cool to be a queer ally. It's not cool to be two-spirited as I identify as, you know, when I go to the community. It's like, people are like, what the hell is that? What are you talking about? Or it's like, okay, you're gay, move from me or not. And it doesn't bother me, but it bothers me that it bothers other people. Who are around me, and like I had to grow up with that a lot. My parents still aren't okay with things that I believe in, and I stick around. And like the school that I go to now, an alternative school, very open and very everything is really like kosher. Like we're used to this kind of stuff. But going back to the community, I always have like, and I don't want to, but I have to look over my shoulder and like, you know, just know who's looking at me, who's watching me, and I can't say what I want to say all the time. I mean, I'm free spirited. I got a big mouth, and I'll talk forever. But I've had to also learn through Madeline Tasha when to kind of tame your tongue. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, even last night they told me, if you learn something from us, you drop your seeds, but don't force a seed on someone. Don't force it in their soil. So that's the biggest thing. And I think these discussions we have and like that I have, I'm growing up so much. I feel like now I know for a fact that I feel like I'm too far grown for where I am right now in grade 12. A lot of students who are under my knowledge, who don't know as much as I know, maybe know more in other areas that I know, but I think what I know now is relevant to the time we're living in. It's relevant, and I feel like you can know what you want about cars, but this is relevant, bro. And this is relevant. People are being treated like crap because they choose to identify as someone. They choose to be themselves. That's the biggest thing, and that's being themselves. So these discussions have led me to that understanding of what it means to be yourself and be comfortable with that.
Jay, do you want to talk about what it has been like mentoring youth through these kinds of dialogues?
For sure. I think one of the most interesting things is like I identify within the trans spectrum community. I actually identify as a cyborg for all the Afrofuturist heads out there in the world all the time. So,
I feel you.
You know, so on, I mean, just in terms of structurally, like within the organization, I think there was a lot of openness, and we did a lot of work around developing our trans analysis and growing collectively, and then bringing that into the space and into the curriculum, like talking to the youth about it. At our staff retreat, we definitely gave space to that, to be like, hey, listen, like this is a big thing, and talk about trans activism and what that can look like. So around queer identities and like the LGBTQ 2AIIA, this is what plus it's a growing thing. You know, if we're talking about marginalized and disenfranchised communities, we can't negate the fact that those are communities that we're talking about. And when you have one in four families in Ontario that have either a trans person in their family as a caregiver or a youth, or you know, we as responsible programmers, we're facilitating curriculum, we're being in the space as alternative education, we have to invest in that kind of knowledge, awareness, and that spreading of that. So yeah, we have an investment on it on a kind of like on a top down level, mm-hmm. and then a down up level, because mm-hmm. we also need to learn and build from the communities, right? Like we're all like plural, super plural beings, but I'm not impacted by everything that happens, and there needs to be space to learn and grow from those other dialogues that are happening, you know.
And Sabrina, Butterfly, I'm interested in hearing too from your perspective as somebody who's an organizer in the community and who's a parent of a youth that's come up through Lost Lyrics. I'm interested to hear
in your perspective, how you've seen the programming affect your son as he's gone through Lost Lyrics?
Isaiah's been a part of Lost Lyrics, I think, for 5 years now. He's 17.
Shout out to Z. That's her son, Isaiah.
Yeah.
Shout him
yeah,
out.
Z,
that's
what's Z. Up.
And the baby. And baby Z.
Papa!
Papa! when Z first started Lost Lyrics, I remember meeting Lost Lyrics at a show. And the young people that were primarily at that show in particular were from Finch. And I was just like, yo, like, I want Isaiah to be a part of this. This could really support me to support Isaiah. Mm. Isaiah, he grew up in Finch, and there were a lot of barriers for him to be him and for him to exist in the school system. So we had a lot of, I had more problems with the school. Just fighting them with, is he behavioral or is he creative and artistic, or is he a problem to our authority, or is he being inquisitive and curious, right? Like, and Isaiah started getting all these labels. So finding the space in Lost Lyrics to speak to what was going on in the classroom. So I'm seeing it as a mom and dealing with the phone calls every other day and, trying to talk to Isaiah, what's going on, like, talk to me. I didn't see what his experience was. So I think Lost Lyrics gave him that space and a platform and the tools to talk about these experiences to his peers, but it worked its way to me as well. So the growth in Isaiah since, like, over the past 5 years is tremendous. He got into Earl Haga, an art school, the Todd Watson program. He started pursuing acting. And he really fought. These systems don't want our children in them, not to take up space and not to be critical. And he was given those tools, and those tools were nurtured in the space of Lost Lyrics.
Butterfly, continue.
No. And having the relationship with, Natasha and Amanda, it wasn't a teacher relationship, right? It was a way to be honest with each other, but supportive and nurturing and not critical and judgmental. Mm-hmm. Which we created a community around Isaiah to be successful. And I think that's, what the space can do for young people.
I just wanted to jump in because I think that hearing you speak as a mother and just the way that you're talking about nurturing and supporting, it really resonates with me. And when you mentioned, not maybe really fully understanding or his experiences, but then now him having that space so that he can express his experience, I think that's so poignant because as parents, sometimes we kind of want to project our wants, our beliefs, our desires onto our children. And we often do this sometimes with the best interest at heart, but not realizing that they are their own individuals and their experiences are not going to be ours. And we need to allow them the space and the freedom to just be.
And it flipped it for me as well, right? I had felt like I was doing something wrong, I'm a single mom, I'm doing this on my own, I had Isaiah at 17, I live in housing, I live in Finch, I'm in between jobs, I'm working through agencies, I'm waitressing, I'm getting a high school credit here and there, maybe it's me.
Right? You're working hard, though. That's hard. That's
blessing, right? But, the school system itself doesn't allow, all experiences to exist, right? And if you don't fit a certain box, something's wrong with you. And that, I think, was a big learning as well.
Two notes. That was Victoria Grant who said
that.
Because you have
Victoria?
It. Yeah.
And I just wanted to say one more thing. from talking with Z and stuff like that, we Lost Lyrics, they build a community where you're taught, and this is our catch, like, you're taught to rebel without getting expelled. So, like, you know, it's I'm going to say it again. You're taught to rebel without, you know, being expelled. You have to go to school. I mean, like, honestly, I used to hate school, and now I love school, but people who might hate school still, bro, you have to go to school. I'm sorry. That's life. The systems are set up in this way where you can hate them all you want, but the only way to get ahead and beat them is to stick it out. But you have to critically, we're taught to critically analyze what we're being taught, you know, and not just take it in and memorize it, but also say, do I need this? Can I discard this and learn something else on my own? And that's what we've been taught to do. So rebelling is big, but we're trying not to get expelled. We're trying to do it the right way.
I think that's the most important thing you can teach youth these days, especially youth of color. I can't say it enough, or Indigenous youth, because the system itself, the curriculum itself, is designed to reinforce an indoctrination that we talk about all the time on the show. We, you know, colonization and the colonial Eurocentric system, and the way in which, you know, history is taught, the way in which English is taught and literature is taught, it's always from this European Eurocentric perspective, and it really isolates people who don't fit into that very small window, and a lot of students are not able to engage with that, and what you're saying about being able to be critical about that, that's really, really key. We've talked about it before, and how, you know, our children, you know, can be alienated from that, but I've got my child beside me right here. She's having her moment, but you know, we have to really nurture our children to navigate that, and I love that, you know, rebel without getting expelled. That's so key.
That taught me a lot, because I used to be anger management kid, throwing chairs at teachers, and like, you can't do that stuff, man. You just can't.
I think what Lost Lyrics has been working towards in terms of how long they've been around is creating the community as it supports people who may feel like they don't have other people around, so soul support parents, whatever that looks like, because for many people, you know, who, especially, you know, folks of color, immigrant, you're expected to behave a certain way within the school system, right? Mm-hmm. But our parents don't necessarily have the space to kind of talk about what racism, sexism, homophobia, if they have that kind of language around it, how that affects students coming out of that. So I think, you know, Lost Lyrics has really contributed to, this is what community looks like, and it doesn't have to be two parents of certain gender and the dog and the picket fence, and, mm-hmm. and you know, and giving that analysis and allowing us, and I'll include myself because I have been a part of Lost Lyrics in different spaces, is how we talk to people who don't necessarily have the same analysis as ours, how we survive in it. And that's a part of you know, rebelling without expelling. How do we talk about these things in ways that make it safe for everyone involved?
Yeah. The reality is, like, in our radical communities, mm-hmm. There's just not enough of us. We can't be cutting people out. We're just going to bleed out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's just not enough. So we need to learn how to, like, hold people accountable while simultaneously still holding them within the community.
Yes.
That we need to, you know, say, hey, like, this is your agency. You made decisions on this. But are we also looking at the socioeconomic and political reasons as to how that decision was made in the first place?
Right.
Like, what are the contexts? And I think something, you know, an investment that, like, we have at Lost Lyrics is just debunking in the pedagogy of the oppressed, it's sort of like this factory-based method of education, which is, I know everything, you know nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take this, and I'm going to put it into your head, and that's going to be it.
And
I think we just lost Butterfly.
We'll
try and get her back on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Jay, continue.
Cool. No worries. Yeah, just to say that we want to value and affirm the lived experiences of the people that we engage with. And sometimes people are going to say problematic things, and it's all about context. Some people are coming at a situation with a lot of anger or, you know, hate that's informed by something, and we need to strategize around how to deal with that. And that's going to look very, really different than somebody saying something unintentionally, which, you know, as racialized people, I know we get all the time. I didn't intend for that to hurt. Mm-hmm. So we talk about intention versus impact a lot, and come up with sort of ideas around emergent strategy, which is that things are going to be complicated, but how can we emerge out of those systems? Can we create belief systems instead of institutions? Can we maintain an integrity or a level of analysis that is you know, that maintains the same kind of integrity on the smallest level to the largest so that it's facto. Can we focus on building critical connections instead of critical mass?
Mm-hmm.
And sort of that's where we're at. We want to be incredibly accountable to the communities that we're in. And, yeah, part of that is just is valuing and affirming the lived experiences that people are coming with and then, you know, learning from that, implementing it into our work.
And so, like, thinking of the things that both of y'all have mentioned so far about in terms of programming is interesting. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and he was talking about a programmer that's passed away that used to do dope work with youth in New York. Mm-hmm. And he was, recalling a story. They were in a meeting that was with the frontline programmers, the people that deal day-to-day with the youth, and then the board.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having, it was a particular time in Bed-Stuy when gun violence was particularly high, and also was also just being talked about in the media. So it was getting exposure in ways that it hadn't outside of the Black community. And the whole board was like, oh, we need to do something about these guns, and it just doesn't make sense. And also creating a conversation around Blackness that was super monolithic. So all Blackness was one thing, and guns mean all one thing. And so he got up and he said, well, you know, like, I work with these youth on a day to day. And yes, like, guns might represent fear and death and multitude of scary things, but for some youth, depending on where they're from, the gun also symbolizes freedom. It symbolizes struggle, it symbolizes their ancestry and what it is that guerrilla warfare has had to be for different Black communities throughout the globe, Haitians, West Africans, East Africans, right? And so for me, it's just interesting the moments in which a youth programmer can look at what the experiences of the youth are and be able to hold a multitude of those things and to be able to adapt the programming to that. So having said that, Braxton, I kind of wanted to ask you, because you had mentioned earlier, like, yo, like, I wanted to write, but I didn't know how to do it or when to do it. So can you talk to me a little bit about over the last 4 or 5 years that you were a part of Lost Lyrics? How did you engage with your writing? How did they help you out? What kind of programming did you do that would help you feel more comfortable with writing?
The first thing I did was, before I even started, like, writing myself, I used to, like, listen to Lupe Fiasco, and I used to, like, write his lyrics out, like, every day. Okay. I remember that song, He Say, She Say. I used to write it out because it reminded me of my mom and my dad's situation and how, like, they weren't together and stuff. I wrote that song, and I'd recite it, like, on the bus when I was going to school and stuff like that. Kids would be like, you're whack. You're reciting some of the man's lines. I'm like, nah. And I'm gonna be rapping one day. So then I went to the studio. I was a Rich Kid and Obi, and, like, this experience.
And tell,
like,
us who Rich Kid and Obi are in terms of Lost Lyrics.
Oh, yeah. Rich Kid and Obi are two AD directors who work in the studio. They engineer and they create beats for us to write to and use. And if you don't know Rich Kid, you're sleeping. But so we're in the studio.
Psych,
yes. We're in the studio and we're just chilling. And they threw on a beat. And then me and Rich were talking. And he's like, okay, this is how we're going to write. He taught me how to write bars, like 16-bar verses, like the numbers and everything that. And, like, I'm thinking now, like, that's so whack. But, like, that was the foundation for my writing. And ever since then, like, listening to other artists and different genres of music, just learning how to write something that I like. You know, mate, and also something that has content. And I've always been a big person for content. Like, if I'm looking at a song, I want to be able to read the lyrics and say, man, that could be in a book. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's actually that deep. So I've always had that knack to want to write some great stuff. And, like, over the last 4 or 5 years, I've been recording a lot and, like, dropped a mixtape and, like, stuff like that. So I really feel, like, I feel happy with what I've done, and I feel like I want to do more. But I'm where I am right now, I'm happy, and I feel like Lost Lyrics and Obi Rich Kid gave me that really struck. Sorry, that strong footing to take off and go with it. Yeah.
I would love if you would, but we have to go to a break first. But when we come back, I'm hoping that you will share a little something that you've written. We've got I actually have a Rich Kid instrumental, so it'll be.
I'll probably kick a freestyle because I don't walk a written.
Okay,
I'm just that good. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I mean, you can serve up whatever you want. So I want to remind the listeners, you're listening to The Vibe Collective. We are speaking with the original griot, one of the original griots, OGs from Lost Lyrics, Braxton. We also have Jay in the house. I got a text from Butterfly. She sends her love to everybody. She had to go back into a community meeting. But she just wanted to give you all some extra love.
Scene.
Yeah.
I know.
So you're listening to The Vibe Collective. We're going to take a very brief break. When we come back, Braxton is going to share a little something with us here on The Vibe Collective, CIUT 89.5 FM.
Om Center Yoga. Diverse yoga for unique people. Come to Om Center Yoga to connect with yourself, your well-being, vitality, and yoga's cosmic life-affirming energy. There are over 40 different yoga classes from Ashtanga, Vinyasa, Power, Core, Pilates, Fitness, to more healing yin restorative detox yogas, and even dance flowing yoga fusions. We're close by at College in Spadina. Check us out at Om Center Yoga, AUMCENTERYOGA.com. U of T and community radio listeners will receive 15% off by mentioning this ad. Namaste from Om Center Yoga.
Hi everyone, this is Ralph Ben-Murgi and I have a new show here on CIUT. It's called The New Sabbath Project and we'd love you to join us for conversations about all things related to culture, citizenship, community, spirituality and religion. The New Sabbath Project here on CIUT 89.5 Sundays at 2 p.m.
The evolution continues. CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Vibe Collective, CIUT 89.5 FM. I am Jams. Joining me in studio,
Kemba Meme.
Luam.
Yeah.
Victoria Grant.
And
Kaya.
And
Mally, aka Dr. Vic.
Yes, yes, we are the Vibe Collective. We're heard every Saturday from 3 to 5, from 3 to 4. We have roundtable talks. We talk about important issues like social justice, decolonization,
environmental racism, environmental justice.
Uh-huh.
I already represented for Adrian, so I'm not about to drop that again. But yo, we spit what's real. We talk about our day-to-day.
Yeah. And then from 4 to 5, the DJs bring you music to move you, which we will be doing. Today, we have some special guests in the house. We've got Braxton from Lost Lyrics.
What's up, T.O.?
And we've got Jay in the house.
What up, what up?
Also repping Lost Lyrics. But Jay, do you want to just break it down for the listeners who you are? Because we didn't, I don't know that we gave you a proper introduction.
I'm a triple threat.
Oh.
You know, I'm the communications outreach and community partnerships coordinator. So I'm the person that's, you know, going place to place, all the meetings, getting the contracts in. But what's really great is around the mobility that I have, I get to be in a lot of spaces around educational attainment and equity. Mm. You know, when you're meeting the school system reformers and the school system abolitionists and trying to build together through our process of unlearning. But also it puts me in a really amazing position because I get to go into programming as well and just connect with the youth who are holding things down. So I get to meet community members, I get to build with the youth, I get to engage with staff, you know, connect with teachers, caregivers, that kind of stuff. So I have a unique position in that respect, but it's also super dope.
And you're leaving out a couple of your disciplines. I'm just going to call you out right now. As an artist.
My major discipline is actually boxing. That's what I do. And everything that I do in terms of arts-based facilitation and consultancy work, it's all actually through the lens of a boxer. And debunking those myths around boxing is violent. It's about adaptation, not expectation, you know, and around thinking about these social justice based work and ethic. It's just allegory for life in boxing. The punches don't hurt less. You just learn how to deal with them better. Mm. So
it's like stopping the rain. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, that's kind of, those are my main things. I mean, also I'm a boxer that dabbles in ballet.
Yeah, wow.
Dabbles. National Ballet School, no big deal.
No big deal.
All in a day's work.
Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of me in a nutshell. And it's great because, you know, those skills that you learn as a facilitator, you take them into space and you're dealing with, I don't know, not the bad mind people sometimes, you know, who have a lot of resources and funds and don't want to leverage them to spaces that need them, you know, and mm-hmm. learning how to engage with them in emergent ways is not the easiest thing, but that's why you got to go in like a boxer.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. So thank you for sharing that, too. I it really is cool to have you here because I know that you're pretty cool. and I just watching at the live report card, watching the interaction with the youth and, you know, Natasha and yourself and Butterfly and watching that, like Kemba was saying, it's a family, and you get to really see that when you see all of you together and that synergy of, you know, knowledge being transferred both ways. It's pretty special to see that. So we're gonna try and get something like that happening here in the studio.
Yeah, that's what's up.
That's what's up, though.
Yes, yes. So I'm just gonna try and find a rich kid beat here.
While you're doing that, I feel like the whole Lost Lyrics program is about self-care in different ways, right? Through art. And I'm just wondering, when certain events come up, like, you know, what
like
happened?
Last night.
Pardon? Oh, with you know, the Trayvon Martin shooting and the resulting verdict, is there some sort of process or protocol or infrastructure to support youth who, despite the fact that it was all the way in Florida, could really relate to what's happening? We saw Questlove's open, I was going to say letter, but documentation. Like, what's in there that's specifically around self-care when these types of violent things come up?
Right. Within implementation of the programming, there are areas that speak to self-care and just community care. Mm-hmm. So we kind of strategize around that in terms of taking, I guess, what you would call preventative action. So you're learning those skill sets before things happen, because the reality is there's no before things happen. Things are always happening,
right?
You know, and I think what really came up was for a lot of the young people that come into the space, and also being one of these young people, what's so frustrating is seeing these things happen, knowing it's an injustice, and not having the language or the community to support those kinds of dialogues and that kind of action. So I think in that respect, Lost Lyrics kind of provides the space for that. And I mean, the youth are really the ones who determine the space and where it is and how it is. But so I think having that critical analysis and awareness that this Trayvon Martin is you know, what a tragedy amongst, like, so many tragedies, and how to contextualize that and say, hey, yeah, this is a problem. But the larger problem at play is anti-black racism. And that's what informed a lot of what happened. And how can we talk about that and have those dialogues? But in terms of just the actual, like, self-care, yeah, we had a little vigil for Trayvon Martin at the live report card, and wanted to hold space for that. But also, we have, you know how, like, sometimes you got your 9 to 5 and you go home. That doesn't really happen with Lost Lyrics. We don't really have the space, so we're just in constant communication with each other anyway. So just in terms of providing that communal support, I think that we really step up for each other, because that was really hard, and just having those conversations and creating the space and asking, like, what do you need and what does support look like for you, just really helps to alleviate so much of that poison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. The live report card happened on the Sunday of that weekend that the Zimmerman verdict came out, and it was good to be in that space at that time. There was definitely that sense of community sort of holding each other, and that's what I was referring to in that transference as well. There was definitely a lot of love in the room and a lot of inspiration, a lot of and a lot of protection. You felt that too. And then, of course, you know, as like you said, Jay, I mean, things are always happening. Things happen, you know, all the time in terms of violence and anti-black racism, and you know, the violence that we see coming from that, and in that, you know, I think there's something to be said for the responsibility of community.
Right.
And that's something that doesn't always seem to happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
there's so many reasons for that, too. You know, when every day, like Trayvon Martin happens every day in our communities.
Yeah.
And that trauma doesn't just go away, you know?
It's like it's made worse, like for me, like being a young black boy, 18, like it's made worse when like I look at him as like my brother. Like I see him on the street, I dap him on the street, I buy him a pop on the street. Like I feel like it's so much more angering for me because now that's put on CNN, it's put on TV, it's like thrown in your face how much we don't matter.
Exactly.
And how much it's easy to just say not guilty, okay, you're good, you killed a boy, it's all right. Mm-hmm. You walk free, you go to work tomorrow. I mean it's like that. It's like how easy is it? And it's that easy to make me feel like crap. In Canada.
And it's trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. And so I think that sometimes we forget how much trauma we walk with every day because we still got to survive. We still got to mm-hmm. go and make money so that we can feed our families, so that we can get through that class, so that we can make sure that we show up to appointments on time. And so the fraction that ends up happening is oftentimes because we forget to centralize our own healing. You know, so it's that coming back into that conversation piece. But how do we talk to each other? What are the critical connections that we make with each other? And how do programs like Lost Lyrics have the ability to mediate those conversations for us? You know,
and bring together different communities of color and indigenous communities as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, because there's different and the same issues that are happening under capitalism and colonialism, right? And sometimes we fight each other, and having spaces like this where we can talk about the different things that we're going through is so vitally important.
Yeah, we kind of, you know how there's like an acronym for everything? We have BIPOC, which is Black, Indigenous, and People of Color, because a lot of the time blackness gets erased in people of color, and we want to pay heed to that. And I think a lot of the reason why the infrastructure for having that support system in place was because just recently Lost Lyrics lost somebody, St. Aubyn, to gun violence, you know, here in Toronto, and on the 29th will be like the first anniversary of his passing.
Mm-hmm.
And that hit the community exceptionally, like really, really, really hard. Lost Lyrics family was devastated. This is a kid that had grown up in Lost Lyrics, you know. Nickname was Cupcake at the time, you know, and he outgrew it. But, you know, to like people like Amanda and Natasha, that's his name. That
right.
will, you know, that's how they remember him, with this big smile. And, you know, and it's just kind of taking that and making that life meaningful in some way, and moving from a reactionary space to a visionary one. And I think that's why these conversations are so important, because we're constantly on the defense, on the defense, on the mm-hmm. defense. And, you know, how do we come up with an emergent strategy that speaks to that sort of visionary take? Because the reality is, like, white supremacy, it is seeing things 200 years from now. 300 years from now, it's got a plan in place, and it can mutate at any given moment and change, which is why it's like less around institutions. It's got to be around belief systems, things that can be carried in people at all times, about building those critical connections instead of having that critical mass. You know, the climate for mass movements, at least here in Toronto, looks a little different than it did in the 1960s, for example. So how are we heeding, like, folks who came before us? Like, are we engaging with, you know, in an intergenerational way? Are we learning and, you know, also paying heed to our ancestors? Like, it's just a lot to take in at once,
mm-hmm.
and just creating the space for those dialogues, I think, is really, really important.
Absolutely. That's something we strive to do every Saturday here. And I think the key, again, what Braxton said before, and Jay, what you're saying now, is being critical. And, you know, Kemba, you were mentioning earlier about, you know, when we're interacting with our families, and sometimes that critical thought, because of the generation that they're coming from and the level of internalized racism or internalized colonialism and the way in which that operates in families, it's really up to our generation who are, you know, critically thinking about these things to have those conversations both with our elders as well as the youth in our lives, and try and, you know, build some kind of momentum for critical thought and critical, bringing the critical theory out of academia.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is where art is so dope, because it allows to facilitate those conversations like through a broad spectrum of people, you know?
I agree.
Which is why I'm hella excited to hear Braxton.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay,
Braxton is always ready. This guy.
I didn't know.
Okay, so let me just push this up a little bit, and I'm going to start the beat, and then you kick it.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah, yeah. Can it get any louder or no? That's good. Word, let me spit these spoken verbs. I'm only here to drop knowledge you heard. I ain't no preacher and I sure as hell ain't no teacher, but I teach a nation when I drop a 16-bar lecture. I last longer if you take a picture with a little bit of street credibility. I swear they can't get rid of me. I'm a lone soldier walking in these mean streets, and I commit homicide when I hop on a beat. And then I manslaughter your mind, and I don't watch my time, but the watch glisten on my wrist. So fine, I know they feeling me. My flow is penetrating, ears concentrating, and I keep elevating as my mind keeps levitating. Me and my OGs, my ride or die homies, I keep it real, no phonies. Man, you can't clone me. I am the only me.
Hey,
yeah,
that's
16 I wrote, like,
yeah,
the Rich
that
kid.
Was a yes. That was a challenging.
I feel like, yo, Rich, you can't do that to me, Rich. You throw the beat off like that, but I'll play with it.
But you've seen that, you adapted.
Yeah,
adapted.
The I'm boxing really strategies, they work.
The
yeah.
way that you adapted and just the flow, that was really impressive.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You just picked up on that quick. I was like, is that slowing down?
Yeah, I was like, I'm like, yo, my earphones screwed up right now. I was like, what am I going to do?
It was like being Super Mario for a second.
Yeah, but that's how a real MC does. You can,
you can
speed it up. You can slow it down. You can pick it up.
Switch
and
flows.
And
you did it.
Boom. Braxton, everybody. So do you have a place where people can find out about you yourself on the internet?
Yeah, there's two places. If you want to know the musical stuff, you go on my SoundCloud. It's soundcloud.com/Braxton-Wignall. My last name is spelled WIGNALL. On Tumblr, my Tumblr is weirdpeoplestrangethings.tumblr.com. That's all it is.
Weirdpeoplestrangethings.tumblr.
I think we all are strange things.
I'm definitely a strange thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Makes me think of that Warsan poem about girls who are dangerous to love.
Yes.
Webcam. Like Victoria just putting the hands on the webcam. It's like one of those when you got to pull the words back out of the universe. You're just like, yes. Yes.
And Warsan's going to be here soon.
I've reached out to Warsan to see if Warsan can join us.
Nice.
Waiting to hear back. And then I think a couple of weeks she'll be here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So before we go though, Braxton, so what's up next for you? What's your plan?
What's up next?
Yeah. Or maybe not what's your plan, but what's up next? What are you interested in?
I don't think I have plans. I think I just have like these day by day things, and like I really want to go to school. I graduated. You only need that one credit, that like elective that you don't want to take because you didn't really care to think about it. Now I'm done. I have my Englishes. I have my 90 average. I'm not worried about. I'm gonna go to university after this year off. Probably gonna work on some music because I feel like I'm ready to indulge in some creation. Work on some music, and then go to university. Just work, save money. I'm bad with money, so I have to learn money management as a young man. That's the biggest thing: money management, school.
You, me, and everybody else.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. What would you like to study at university?
I want to do child and youth work and child education and development. So I want to work with kids, but I want to go around the world. I feel like there's so much youth around the world who have so much to offer. I mean, like, they just need to be talked to, not even talked to, just shared space with them. Just give them that safe energy to share, and then just spread that throughout the world. The internet is so powerful. Why not use that? You know what I mean? So that's one of the biggest things I want to do with my life.
And this is also like Braxton's a facilitator.
Oh yeah, I try to. I've taught some classes and stuff before with the OGs and for that. Like I said, I feel like a grown man in this young body, but I don't take that to heart too much because it can get to you. It can throw you off the track. You feel like you're too grown for your own self. I'm still young. I'm only 18. I have a lot to learn. You know what I mean? But I have a lot that I do know to share. I have to, the more you know, the more you owe. I was taught that yesterday by one of Amanda's friends after you watched the movie. So, like, I keep learning stuff every day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. I want to capture, speaking of words you want to pull, and just like, yes, right there. That was one of those moments.
Lost Lyrics does that to you.
Yeah. Shout out to Lost Lyrics.
Yeah, man. I know too much and I owe too much.
Feel you.
And the legacy is building, the legacy of Lost Lyrics. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? We've got a couple of minutes left before we got to wrap up. Do you want to talk about what it was like for you coming into Lost Lyrics?
Oh, yeah. When I came into Lost Lyrics, I was, like, automatically placed in OGs, like Amanda and Tasha, like I was, like, this older, more mature person. And, like, at the time, it kind of got to my head because I was young. I was like, yeah, I feel like I'm so grown. But I had to learn to, like, flow with that and let life flow. And given that much respect as someone who's 15, 14, coming out of grade 8, like, yo, young man, you know a lot and you carry yourself in a certain way. So I've always felt like I had something to give back, or something that I owe. And the legacy's been building, man. I see Lost Lyrics has been growing with themselves, growing with the students, growing with us, growing at a pace that we can all controllably handle and work with, which has been the biggest thing, because I've always been taught to not rush and grow too fast, and Amanda and Tasha have always told me that, and like I think they've taken that advice as well, and they've been really trying to focus on what they want to do and get it right.
Yeah, and like just even in terms of you know, we talked about the importance of creating space for dialogue around the kinds of things that happen in our community and developing a social justice based ethic. I think one of the things that Lost Lyrics is really invested in a lot of organizations and a lot of groups and movements haven't been as invested in is how can we talk about these things responsibly. You know, you log into Facebook or something these days and you get bombarded with all this information and it's overwhelming. You know, all the things that are happening all over the world and what to do about it and how much can you take in, and then some people just detach completely. Or, you know, just know, read the first couple of lines on an article and they become experts on the situation. You know, so it's not just about engaging with the material. It's about engaging with things in responsible ways. Like you, for example, around the Zimmerman verdict, everyone's just posting all these horrific things without really considering what communities were being impacted the most by this constant, you know,
showing ignorance.
Of like, you know, things like Trayvoning or, you know, Zimmerman now launching a civil lawsuit against Martin's parents. And like,
how dare you?
And how problematic that is, right? Like, if you want to do things in responsible ways, then organize. Do the work of actually organizing. And hey, you may not get all the acclamation and accolades, but you're doing the good work. You're doing the work. And that's something that Lost Lyrics is, you know, very much invested in. And I know that that's kind of the route we want to take, is it's not just providing space, but doing so in integritous and responsible ways. And growth for the sake of growth is cancerous. You know, we want to be really intentional about how we grow and in what communities and if we're wanted there. And, you know, if we're wanted there, then in what ways feel good for that community and how can we best support it? And one of the most important things is that we want this kind of work to exist if we aren't here anymore. I think a lot of the work that we see, the organizations, the movements, it's incumbent on your continued presence. But in people like Braxton and Isaiah and...
Forever lives through us, like, trust me, like...
Yeah, like, we... Forever. They become the facilitators in our organization. The OGs facilitate for the youth in the AD programming. They're the ones who are going into spaces, like, coming Tuesday, Braxton's going to be conducting his own workshop. They're going into spaces, and they're doing that work because those tools are going to be there, maybe if the organization isn't. You know, we're a lot of not-for-profits, charities, grassroots, they're incumbent on this constant funding, you know, and like this work needs to happen regardless.
And also not the emphasis on being sustainable, as you say, you know, carrying the work on. If you're not there, there's somebody else to pick it up. That's something that you don't often see in community orgs, especially when there's funding involved. It's sort of like a one-off, and then if they lose their funding, then they just sort of fizzle out. Braxton, do you want to talk a little bit about the workshop that you're going to be facilitating on Tuesday?
Yeah, Jake actually just asked me to do it today, and I came into the studio. She was like, there's a discussion on, what's it again?
So basically, Braxton gets to actually just talk about himself. So he's going to be facilitating to a bunch of volunteers downtown, and he's going to be talking about what it's like to be in a studio, make a song, what's it like to, it's for a group called Witnesses to Poverty. So he's going to be sort of talking
really
about...
That's really huge. Because, like, I use music a lot. Like, I used it a lot. You guys know that Lauryn Hill album, Unplugged, on MTV?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I bought that when I was in the shelter for, like, a year. And, like, I listened to that every day. And, like, I never understood, like, the power of music. Mm-hmm. Like, even I knew it was powerful. But at that point, like, power of music, like, you know, it got me out of that crap. Like, even now, I still feel it. But, like, looking back, that album is a power of music. I feel like just sharing that, like, music is powerful. No matter what you go through. And, like, I feel like music needs to be in my everyday life. When I'm walking to the mailbox, like, I need that song in my ear because it's just so important to have that, like, power. Music is power. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I want to instill that in this world, too.
See, he's already ready for it.
I guess. I guess. I mean.
Okay, well, we've just got about 5 minutes left in the show before we get to the music. It looks like it's... the skies are opening up, which is a good thing. Those are the thunders. The thunders are visiting us. Mm. And that's always
bike
a good thing.
Biked downtown today.
Like, yeah, you biked. Yeah, Braxton biked here.
From Scarborough.
From Scarborough.
Yeah. High five. Yeah.
I was impressed.
Yeah, impressive. I live 4 blocks from here. I'm like, I'm not trying to bike today.
You're lazy.
I was
come
like,
on.
With this rain?
Yeah, it's going to rain.
And this
on
afro?
Me.
Nah.
I brought the sweater in case and the poncho.
So if people out there in Radioland are listening and they want, like, say, for example, if there are parents out there who want their children to get involved, first of all, what would it look like if their children were to get involved with Lost Lyrics, if youth want to get involved? What does that look like? Is it a meeting? Is it a drop-in? And how do they reach out and find out more?
Well, our website, which is www.lostlyrics.com.
.ca,
and that's one way to get in contact with us. We there's a registration for a lot of our programming. If there is a request to actually meet with us and have a discussion, I'm the person that will definitely reach out and do that. Amanda's also been, like, really amazing in that, Natasha as well. Yeah, there's our Twitter, Lost_lyrics. And our Tumblr. Use our Twitter, though, because our Tumblr. Actually, that's just my own bias. I'm not the best on Tumblr.
I'll fix that for you. I'll fix that for you.
You use our Twitter account. No, but for real, though. Yeah, and then we also just, like, have our own personal emails that we use. So we're kind of just available all the time. We check our blog spot. It really depends on, like, if there needs to be a meeting. So when folks want to register for any of our programs, right now our active programs are the OGs program and the Artistic Development program. So we do have, like, registration, so we can figure out, like, how can we prioritize the communities that need us the most, mm-hmm. the youth that need us the most. And it's not about value judgment so much as who is at a point where they could benefit the most from the program that we have, because unfortunately there's just not enough resources to go around and leverage. But yeah, definitely. Our AD coordinator is in every week, gives phone calls to the caregivers of the youth in our program. So wow. That happens before and that happens after. Also, to get to and from, because in our AD programming, for example, you could have, like, 11-year-olds, you know, to 15. So we have one OG that picks up the youth in Malvern, and another that picks up the youth in Jane and Finch, and then brings them downtown.
And AD is Artistic Development?
Yeah. Okay. And you know, because the reality is, like, a lot of hoods are insular, and a lot of caregivers don't have the time to kind of, like, take the youth down. So we, you know, we want to make sure that folks are coming in and out in ways that are safer, and to kind of help to bridge that gap, to say, like, hey, like, you can do this too, this is how you get home, and we have contingency plans for that. But yeah, keeping in constant contact with the caregivers and keeping them in the loop about what's going on, how to stay involved, where we think things are really happening, and also maintaining the confidence of the young person is something that we're really, really invested in. So yeah, check our website out and hit us up.
Lost Lyrics, everybody. Well, I want to give a big thanks to both of you for coming through.
Thank you for
today.
Having us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Braxton. Shout out to Butterfly for joining us on the phone. Shout out to Natasha and Rihanna for their contribution as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to The Vibe Collective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we're going to go to a break. When we come back, I'm going to start off the Music to Move You hour, and then Griffin will pick it up. Once again, thank you, Braxton. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
And big love to everybody listening. Stay tuned for more here on the Vibe Collective, CIUT 89.5.